91.3 WLRN presents Topical Currents. This hour, we get a feel for the emotional and stress disorder impairment suffered by soldiers during the Iraq War through the medium of theater. Good afternoon, it's Bonnie Berman with Joseph Cooper. We'll get a feel for the new play Conscience Under Fire, produced under the auspices of Miami-Dade College's MDC Live Art Series. The play grew from a creative writing lab for veterans. Four Iraq war veterans perform it under the direction of Teo Castellanos. One soldier was a mental health specialist who had experience at the famous Abu Ghraib prison. One is a Marine who was also an embassy security guard. The play is presented this Friday and Saturday with free ticketed admission. We'll hear some of the performance live after the news.
It's 7 minutes past 1 o'clock. It is today's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper, along with Bonnie Berman. Well, today we give our small commemoration of the September 11th attacks. Bonnie, it's been 14 years. In the studio this hour is actor, playwright, and director Teo Castellanos. His latest project is a theater piece called Conscience Under Fire.
It's about and performed by local Iraq War veterans and deals with post-traumatic stress disorder issues incurred during their tours. Conscience Under Fire is part of the MDC Live Arts Series. We want to welcome you, Teo Castellanos.
Thank you.
Yeah, good to have you.
Happy to be here.
And also with us is Army veteran Anthony Torres. He was deployed in Iraq for 12 months in 2004. And as a performer in the production, welcome to you, Anthony. Good to see you.
Thanks for having us.
Notice these T-shirts?
Post-traumatic growth. Okay. Well, yes. Let's introduce Andrew Cuthbert. Bert, is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. He's a Marine Corps veteran and was in Iraq for part of 2005 and 2006.
Yes.
Excuse me. We'll now learn more about their talents and their experiences. And I think I'd like to begin with you, Teo. As Joe mentioned, Conscience Under Fire grew out of an MDC Live Arts Creative Writing Lab for veterans. So if you would explain what that was and how this came about.
I was contracted by MDC Live Arts to lead a weekly workshop from January to mid-April. We met every Saturday for 3 hours. And at the end of that, there was to be some sort of informal showing presentation of what they've written. In the process, we developed a pretty much a full-blown performance, and which took place at the Betsy April 19th. And due to everyone's excitement.
Popular demand.
Yes. decided to continue with the project.
Whose idea was it to have a veterans initiative? And is that still an active program at MDC?
That was part of, that came from funding from the James L. Knight Foundation for a bigger project that's touring nationally. It's called Bass Track. And as part of that initiative, they brought them down and performed at the South Dade Cultural Arts Center. As part of that initiative, MDC Live Arts had added these workshops to that programming.
Anthony and Andrew, did either of you have any creative writing experience to speak of?
I just liked stringing words together and screaming at people until I met Teo. And he really helped me define myself as far as skills were concerned and helped me gain the confidence to be able to stand on stage and let my wounds be seen in a positive way.
You know, I'm sorry I was remiss. I wanted to thank you, first of all, Anthony Torres, Andrew Cuthbert, who are with us, Alan Miner, who also served in the Army, and Hippolito Arriaga, who served in the Marine Corps with two combat tours in Iraq. They're not with us. They're part of this production. But they're also both actors in this production. We want to thank all of you for your service and to our country and the line of duty. So we really do want to thank you. I was remiss in not starting that way.
And for sharing.
Thank you.
And for sharing. Okay. So I wanted to ask how each of you, Anthony and Andrew, heard about this initiative and why you got involved with it. Were you hurting? Was it something that you, starting with you, Anthony?
I reached out to Scott Cunningham in O Miami in 2012. I worked evenings and weekends at the Veterans Hospital in the rehabilitation programs, and I used to attend the Friday night events that they host and continue to host. And I went to a poetry reading in Wynwood, and I met Scott Cunningham, and I said, would you be interested in coming to the VA in April and maybe bring some poets and bring the vets together for a night of self-expression? Mm. And he said, absolutely. So in April 2012, he came with a few poets he had brought together, and we had a great evening. Over 50 people showed up. We had veterans reading poems from Langston Hughes and Iraq poet Brian Turner, and it was so exciting and so fun. Fast forward a few years, and MDC Live Arts was looking to do this veterans writing initiative, and they got my name from Scott Cunningham. So I met with the Live Arts staff, and they said, we want to do this workshop. We want to create the opportunity for combat vets to share their stories and engage the community. And that's how we formed.
Huh. And Andrew, how did you hear about it?
You want me to be honest?
Yes.
I got like 12 emails from Anthony. Hey, are you going to come? 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 And I had already been active in the veterans community as far as pushing the idea of post-traumatic growth. I wanted to change the conversation and erase the stigmatization that was behind the level of post-traumatic stress disorder. And the way that I started doing that was expressing myself through, I wouldn't say poetry, at least I like to think. And when Anthony reached out, it was a way for us to come together and for a common cause. So that's why I answered the call.
Anthony, you mentioned you were working at the VA. Did both of you go through more traditional therapy for PTSD?
There was a bit of a conflict for me. In more recent years, it was kind of tough to get treatment because I worked under the Department of Psychology. So it was a little tricky for me as a veteran and employee.
Yeah, because you were in, that was your position.
Yes.
In the Army.
Yes, yes, yes. I was a mental health specialist in the Army as well as at the VA. So it was a little difficult for me. And what I actually have done over the last few years was go outside and use community resources.
In private, okay.
Yes, yes.
What are your feelings about, generally, if you don't mind sharing, about the treatment that veterans do get when they return, the help that they get from agencies that are designed to help them, either the VA hospitals or governmental agencies?
Andrew?
Well, first off, we appreciate any and all the organizations, including the VA, that wish to help us. And one thing that I found out in my journey is that you have to turn it around and have the desire to help yourself. You can utilize these different resources as a resource. You know, you could use it to aid you in your journey, but until you decide that you want to change your perception and change your circumstance from post-traumatic stress to post-traumatic growth, then, yeah.
Did you have difficult times?
I did have difficult times. I used to, the way that I dealt with it was through Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. And I was training martial arts, and I used to train kids, and I was working at the gym. And it was until I tore my ACL that I sought treatment from the VA, because I fell into a deep depression once I tore my ACL. That was my breaking point.
You mean that's what really brought it all, because you had no outlet anymore?
Exactly.
You didn't have the jiu-jitsu.
Yes.
And, you know, Anthony, what are your feelings about that? Is there enough help available, I guess,
well,
is what I want to ask.
I think there are resources out there, and I think one thing that we are focused on is taking individual responsibility and initiative in our own health, in our mental and physical well-being. And we have found that through self-expression. And at the root of it, that's what therapy even is. You're sitting with someone and expressing right. yourself. And we have found that we're able to do this creatively. And it's been an awesome outlet.
Teo, what compelled you to get involved with this project?
My background and actually my whole career has been really based on the creation of original work which I create, write, and perform, or write and direct, or write and direct and perform.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was approached with this project, I was naturally very excited because, again, here's original work, one. Two, the veteran population is a population that I had never worked with.
Okay.
And that was both exciting and even a little scary. Actually, before we started, I met with Anthony over coffee, and I asked him, please prepare me because I have no idea what I'm getting into. I still volunteer actually with men in prison, but this was a very first experience, and
what was it like?
And a new challenge.
Learn?
You know, I'm sitting here with these guys today for a reason, and we're working on this show because I really, really, really enjoyed working with them. They have. Also, I do have some experience with, you know, first-time performers, and they're also were that first-time performers, first-time writer / performers. So it's been great. I'm loving it.
We're speaking about Conscience Under Fire. Was this ever Conscious Under Fire? Has the name been changed? Because we've seen it both ways. Anthony?
We had a few different names. We agreed for the very first performance this past April at the Betsy Hotel on Ocean Drive for Conscience, which really talks about the internal struggle or battle that people face when dealing with trauma. So that was the initial name that we went with. Yeah.
Okay. That is Anthony Torres. He served in the Army as a mental health specialist in Fort Hood, Texas from 2002 to 2006. He served on a 12-month deployment to Abu Ghraib prison, where he provided mental health treatment to deployed troops. We're also with Andrew Cuthbert. He's a Marine Corps veteran who served in Iraq from 2005 to 2006. He was a radio operator in the 1st Battalion, 10th Marines, from 2004 to 2006. And also with us is Teo Castellanos. He's an actor, writer, and director, works in theater, film, and television. And we'll be right back.
Now Radio. And we're back with our Conscience Under Fire devoted program with actor, playwright, and director Teo Castellanos, also Army veteran Anthony Torres, and Marine Corps veteran Andrew Cuthbert. And there's tell us about the performances. You mentioned that some of them was sold out, but if somebody wants to see it, can they?
Yes. We're excited to announce that the two shows on Friday, September 11th and Saturday, September 12th have been sold out at the Prometeo Theater. There's good news. We're going to be live streaming it at mdclivearts.org for the 9/11 show at 8 p.m.
Well, there might be no shows and maybe standing room only.
Yes. There are standby tickets.
That SRO in Broadway term.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, there may be people that don't show up.
Right. Sure. Beginning at 8 p.m., those that haven't redeemed their tickets will... tickets will be available for people who would still like to get in and see the show.
Okay. You know, we hear so much about post-traumatic stress disorder. It extends to those, you know, not just
veterans of war, of course, in different circumstances. But would each of you, Andrew and Anthony, describe as graphically as you can how it manifested in your life?
What you're comfortable with.
Yeah, what were you dealing with? Starting with you, Andrew.
Okay, so after I tore my ACL, it manifested itself in anger. I was irritable, angry. I did not want to be around people. And I was just overall angry at myself.
And why? I feel like I'm being a therapist. But I don't mean to.
So how does that make
Andrew,
you feel?
But why were you angry at you?
I was angry at myself because everything, all the everything that I ever experienced, I volunteered to do it. So I couldn't blame anybody for putting myself in that situation but me. So it was more anger towards myself, guilt towards myself because I did that to me. And it was until I realized that it wasn't a disorder, that it was a normal response to an abnormal situation, that's when I was able to turn it around.
You mean it's a response to being in that in war?
Yeah, well, anything, because you said, right, just yeah, like you said, anybody can experience it.
Right, and in your case.
But yeah, so if anybody could experience it, then it's a normal response to an abnormal situation. So I feel like by attaching disorder to the end of post-traumatic stress, it's a disservice to you. It makes you feel defeated. It makes you feel like you're broken goods, like you can't rise up above this. Mm. And that's not what this is.
You also must have grown very much from your war experience.
It exactly, yes.
Why, because you mentioned you did this to yourself, nobody made you do it. Well, let me ask you, why did you enlist in the Marine Corps?
Well, I enlisted in the Marine Corps because, like many of the veterans who come from like not so good neighborhoods, you know, I just wanted a way out. A fancy pants recruiter comes around and talks about benefits. You know, you wanna sign up and go. Mm-hmm. Other than the benefits, I really wanted to challenge myself, and I said that if I could join the hardest branch of the military, then I could do anything in my life. But honestly, and within that whole process, war was like on the back burner. I didn't really think about, I said, okay, if I have to go, I have to go. But I didn't realize the ramifications of that decision.
You mean when you enlisted, you didn't think you were going to actually be in a war?
I didn't think a year later that I'd be sitting in Iraq, like looking around, twiddling my thumbs, like, what's going on?
And how old were you?
19, when I was in Iraq.
Andrew, let me start with that question with you. Why did you enlist in the Army, in the armed services?
I after high school, I'm originally from Utica, New York, a small city in upstate New York. Most of my friends were going off to college, and I had no career goals or academic goals. And I looked at what options do I have, and after a few minimum wage jobs that I couldn't keep, I thought the military would provide me structure and discipline and a career opportunity. But I was also scared to go active duty. So what I actually did was I was in the Army Reserves for 3 years in upstate New York as a civil affairs specialist, which is kind of like international relations kind of work. During that time, I re-enrolled in college. I had dropped out of the local community college. And the only thing that was really going well for me was the Army Reserves. I was getting promoted. I was doing well. And about 3 years in, I decided to go on active duty.
And how did the post-traumatic stress manifest in your life?
Well, one thing that's interesting about it is that as we as a group got together, we realized we came from similar backgrounds. We weren't raised by our fathers. You know, we grew up in poverty. We had felt the effects of environmental traumas in our lives. And as we went into the military service and experienced different kinds of traumatic exposure, it definitely compounded the effects of, you know, where we came from. I myself buried myself in school. I've been in school, I tell people, since I moved to Miami. But work in school to kind of distract myself. and to keep me kind of engaged, because otherwise I will isolate. 4th of July's aren't the same for me anymore. No. But I try to participate, especially now as a husband and a father, in those kind of events. But for me personally, the stigma, not only as a soldier, as a man, but also as a mental health provider, it was pretty tough for me to say, I'm dealing with bouts of depression.
Especially the notorious Abu Ghraib.
Yes, yes.
I mean, we all saw those horrible photos and mm-hmm. had such a terrible opinion of what went on there.
Yes, and my medical unit was deployed about 6 months to Abu Ghraib after the incident occurred. And we were there to kind of improve America's image and to take care of the troops that were in the area and also the Iraqi detainees.
Would either of you do it differently? Would you do it differently? Would you have not enlisted knowing what you know now? Or is everything the way, are you glad for what you've done?
I wouldn't say that I'm glad for what I've done, but I don't live my life with any regrets.
Okay.
I feel like if I didn't have to overcome any obstacle in my life, then I wouldn't be at this place right now in your studio sharing this time on air with you. And like we always like to say when we speak, you know, the combat hippies, it's like this is important to get our word out there, our message out there, because it's so much more than us. You know, we're speaking for the generation too.
Now, our listeners want to know about this combat hippie business. We have to ask that question. You just kind of tossed that term to us.
All right. So the concept of the combat hippies arose from a Mission Continues orientation in which me, Anthony, and Hippolito attended. That's where we knew each other a little bit before that, but that's where I met Anthony. And the Mission Continues is a veterans organization that helps veterans put their skills that they learned in the military back into the community. And when I looked at all of us, I thought to myself, okay, we're all here for a common purpose, to improve our community. But we all look like a bunch of hippies. Half of us don't like wearing shoes. There's long hair everywhere. So that's where the concept of the combat hippies came up. And then when Anthony reached out to us with his a million emails, and that's where we kind of merged the two, and that's where we are now.
And also the thing about the hippies in our name is about our search for inner peace, our search for self-empowerment, and also free thinking. And as Teo mentioned, I asked Teo about, you know, how do I really strike into my creativity? You know, how do I think outside the box? And he said, just take the box out of there. There is no box. and that's been a huge part of what we're trying to do.
We're going to have actually a sampling of the performance in a few minutes, so stay with us for that. Teo, I just wanted to ask you, this has been described as powerful and humorous. What's the humor about? Where does the humor come in?
I will quote Mary Poppins. A spoon full of sugar helps the medicine go down. So I believe that that all serious work should have some kind of humor,
right,
to help it go down, to make it more digestible. It's important in my work to always have some sort of humor.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to take a short break. We're talking about Conscience Under Fire. It will be performed at the Teatro Prometeo on 300 Northeast 4th Street on Friday, September 11th, Saturday, September 12th at 8 p.m. And it will be live streamed at mdcliveArts.org. And we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll hear some of the performance. Stay with us.
Hello, This is Alberto Carvalho, Miami-Dade County Public Schools Superintendent. As the holder of the broadcast license for WLRN Radio and Television, Miami-Dade County Public Schools is proud to support this vital community service. An ardent listener to classical music myself, I'm especially pleased that WLRN Radio has now returned this enriching programming to South Florida on WLRN Classical HD2. Thank you for your support of WLRN and Miami-Dade County Public Schools.
Conscious Under Fire is a spoken word piece that we have turned into a performance. As part of that piece, we go through the lives of each vet from pre-service to service and then post-service. So Anthony is going to share a little piece about service.
Do you seek a more adventurous, one-of-a-kind experience? If so, look no further. You will experience lifelong memories at the exotic establishment known as The Boo. This Middle Eastern resort is just a few short flights from the U.S. to a nearby international airport, with date palm orchards to the east and beautiful sunsets to the west. The Boo is a desert oasis where visitors can escape the hustle and bustle of the big city. This peaceful locale provides a relaxing ambiance for those seeking a respite from the action. And the accommodations? To die for. This place is stocked to the nines with the comforts of home and more. Housing includes refurbished rooms with makeshift spaces separated by plywood walls for a more intimate feel. The executive suites have windows boarded up to keep the annoying heat out and the cool air in. The kitchen is staffed with multinational chefs from the US, India, and Sri Lanka, who serve the most delectable entrees. Who's hungry for curry? Yum. There's no running water at the Boo, as management likes to create a more natural milieu. But no worries, shower trailers and porta-johns are available for the most pampered of guests. Speaking of water, pallets of the finest natural artesian beverage is readily available, because who drinks tap water anymore? Built on 280 lavish acres by British contractors in the 1960s, the Boo, formerly known as Abu Ghraib, sits just off Route 1 and is nestled between the hectic cities of Fallujah and Baghdad. Coalition forces handle all of your safety needs. The locals have been known to get a little rowdy, but no worries. Security is known to keep them on a tight leash. Medical services are provided by the 115th Combat Support Hospital. They're best known for their emergency care, and their surgeons are top-notch. Since my time at the Boo, management has changed a few times. You might want to call ahead for pricing. As for me, I'm still paying for my trip. Those damn hidden fees. Looks like I'll be paying for the rest of my life.
You can snap on that one, sure.
Yeah. Okay, that was Anthony Torres.
And I'm going to ask Andrew.
Yes.
A question. Have you ever killed anybody?
Have I? Hell, I was surrounded by 10 terrorists. And as I gazed upon all 15 with nothing left but my knife, I was determined to send all 20 of them to see Allah that night. So it began. Slash, gash, hook, jab, fighting all 25 of them at once. Back flipped off the wall, catching bullets in my teeth, going nonstop until all 40 of them lay at my feet. So I walked about that house, threw a grenade over my shoulder, and boom! I was out of there. But you know, the funniest thing about war, it ain't funny. And if you want to see the rest, you got to come to the show.
All right.
Okay, so we were listening to a piece from Conscience Under Fire, which was directed by Teo Castellanos. And we just were listening to Andrew Cuthbert. Before that, it was Anthony Torres. Evidently, they're sold out, but there may still be some tickets, and it is this Friday and Saturday, September 11th and 12th. at the Teatro Promo Mateo.
I'm sure it's hard to explain, but maybe you can try. How does this kind of expression make you heal, which is what's kind of promised in what's going on with the Conscience Under Fire premise?
Well, in doing my own self-study about post-traumatic stress, I came across the concept of when it comes to traumatic memories, you can't verbally process them. You have to do some sort of act. So most people, where they would paint, draw, we get on stage and we perform it. And in the performance is where we find healing, not just the words.
So, but can you explain how that heals you? I mean, do you feel a physical healing, an emotional, psychological healing as you perform it, share it?
Or release.
A release?
A release is the best way to describe it. A release of those trapped emotions that's been holding you hostage for many years. That, for the most part, you couldn't even put it into words. You don't know what exactly it's doing. You can just see it manifest itself as anger, depression, guilt, and all of those sort of symptoms that come along with post-traumatic stress. And when you actually write out your experiences and perform them, that's where the healing comes from. That's where the post-traumatic growth comes from.
Andrew, for those of your veteran comrades who have seen this, what's their reaction to you?
Anthony.
I'm sorry.
I've had nothing but positive reactions. Honestly, last week at Barry University, where I'm a social work graduate student, I ran into a veteran who said he shared his personal story to a large audience and was very hesitant about doing so because he didn't know what the response was going to be. And after the entire room applauded him and shook his hand and said, "Thank you for telling your story, you really gave us insight into your experiences," he said he had this feeling that he had never felt before of, you know, sharing it and getting a positive response back. And he said to himself, "I wonder if other veterans could come together and talk and write and perform. How cool would that be?" And I said, "That's us. We're doing it." And he was really excited to hear that this group is going on and that we're using the creative arts.
Would you think there's a way that this can be instituted on a more national scale for vets everywhere to find out about this, if creative outlets are such an answer?
Yes. I think it's. I feel that veterans are an untapped resource in our communities, and I feel that the creative arts are the same, and that if we pair the two together, that we can engage the community, we can give insight into these experiences that one half of 1% experience, and it can kind of bring us together in that way. It can create a dialogue. I asked the mental health counselor from New York City, who works with vets. I said, "How do we get vets to engage in their community a little more?" He goes, "There is no community. You have to start the community." And I feel that we can do that through the platform of our show. We can start that dialogue.
Tao?
Yes, we actually have hopes in touring this piece to other communities, VA hospitals, anywhere where veterans come together to heal.
Our telephone number, if you'd like to join in, we'll have a little discussion. Our number, 1-800-743-9576. 1-800-743-WLRN. Bonnie, email?
Is radio@WLRN.org. radio@WLRN.org.
And we're also on Periscope now.
We're on Periscope if you...
Maybe Paul can tell us where we are here.
Just head to the Topical Currents Twitter, @TopicalCurrents, and you'll get the link for the video stream from Periscope.
Okay, there we go.
Okay. Anthony, you're currently enrolled in a master's degree program. You said you're always in school at Barry University.
Yes. Yes.
And what do you hope to do with that degree when you get your master's in social work?
I feel that I'm already using it. I'm about halfway done with the program. And what I'm learning about empowerment, and marginalized populations, advocacy, and community engagement. I feel fit right into the kind of work that we want to do and that we want to do with the Combat Hippies and also the show. I feel that the community is the key to healing. I think that vets kind of keep to themselves, keep their stories to themselves, or keep them with each other. But bringing in, you know, friends, family, even strangers, to share with them our stories, give them some insight, can help create a better understanding and compassion for the difficulty of reintegration and readjustment that veterans face, both combat and non-combat veterans, because the military lifestyle is a lot different from the usual civilian
community. Would you expect that some of your veteran buddies might say, this theater stuff, you know, I'm a tough guy, I don't want to be doing anything like that? Do you get some of that reaction when you try and get others to help you?
I get the opposite. I get, you know what? I wrote a poem that I've never shared with anyone before. Good. Let me share that with you. And that's what we've been getting on our Facebook page, is veterans with videos, writing poems. During one of the recent holidays, a Vietnam veteran, I think it was July 4th, wrote a poem that with things in there that he never shared before and posted it on our page. And I thought, wow, we can be this awesome platform of self-expression and community. And it's been almost all positive reception.
You know, before, when you were talking and you said something about July 4th not being the same for you, I didn't hear exactly what you said, but it struck me. What did you say? And what did you mean?
At Abu Ghraib prison, we experienced a lot of indirect fire, mortars, machine gun fire, a lot of planes and helicopters flying overhead. So I have an issue with loud noises, airplanes. They just kind of, trigger anxiety for me. But at the same time, I feel that I refuse to sit in my house. I refuse to isolate. And this group has definitely engaged me. And I feel that we're on a bigger mission. It's not about the four of us. It's about the community. And it's about bringing the community together.
We're speaking about Conscience Under Fire. It's a spoken word production directed by Teo Castellanos, with four Iraq war veterans. Two of them are with us in the studio, Anthony Torres and Andrew Cuthbert. It's going to be performed this Friday and Saturday, September 11th and 12th, at the Teatro Prometeo, and or streamed live at mdcliveArts.org. Our last break, and we'll be back.
What do Beethoven's Ninth, Scheherazade, Brahms' Fourth Symphony, and Bernstein's West Side Story have in common? South Florida Symphony, under the baton of Maestro Alfonso. Tickets at southfloridasymphony.org. Funded in part by Broward Cultural Division.
Andrew, you kind of left me hanging there. I really would like to know why war is not funny.
Because the truth is, we've been desensitized to the political lies, drowned in the poison of fluoride, reprogrammed by the tell-lie vision to actually have you and I believe that war has anything to do with Iraq or American freedom. So who is this so-called enemy that I swore to protect this nation from? Are those hiding in caves in Afghanistan so much worse than the ones wearing suit and lies concealed within their polygon of five sides? So who?
I'll stop you there. Because I want to ask you who next time.
That was from Conscience Under Fire, and that was Andrew Cuthbert. And you were hearing the voice of Teo Castellanos, who directed This piece that grew out of an MDC Live Arts Creative Writing Lab for veterans of the Iraq War. And we also are in with the studio with Anthony Torres. Is this just for Iraq veterans, I said, not Afghanistan? Anthony?
No, absolutely not. I was just fist pumping the air when you asked that, because when we talked to Teo, he said, this cannot be only about war. We want to share who you were before you went to the military. We do want to talk about our military service, but we also want to talk about after war, your lives as veterans. And at the core of the show, which brings us from childhood to combat to post-military lives, is the human experience. Our stories are ingrained with love and hurt and loss and redemption and resilience. And I feel that those are universal themes that everyone can relate to.
Mm-hmm. Andrew, tell us a little bit more about your spoken word poet and a jiu-jitsu artist and teacher. Do those two work kind of hand in glove?
Well, it's all forms of expression, because that's what art is. Art is just human expression. So if you think about the number one symptom of post-traumatic stress, which is depression, that's what puts it all into perspective. When you think of depression, let me ask you, what is the opposite of depression?
Life.
Okay.
Grabbing life and
optimism.
Hope.
Optimism. And these are common answers. But the reality is the opposite of depression is expression. Because if you depress yourself, the only way to get out of it is you have to express yourself. The way I express myself is I step onto a mat and I train martial arts. I teach children. I train with adults. I train with everybody. Or I get on stage with the combat hippies and I express myself through poetry. These are the ways that I express myself, the way that I express post-traumatic growth. And that's why it's so important to me.
Teo, were there any oddities about directing a production like this rather than a more conventional performance?
Actually, no. I'm like I shared before.
With untrained actors.
Yes, I've so worked with untrained actors throughout my career.
Sounds like you prefer it.
I guess I can say I've gotten good at it.
Sounds like you prefer it.
Well, yes and no. Depends on the production. Mm-hmm. What I do prefer is, I guess it's like the Zen story of the master, or the professor who goes to see the master. And the master, he pours in tea, and he keeps pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring until the tea is overflowing. And the professor's going, wait, you poured too much. And he goes, well, that's your mind. If your mind is empty, then I can pour this tea into it. But if it's full, it's just going to overflow. So they pretty much come with no experience, come with empty minds.
Right.
And come really hungry. And that is probably the best student that you're going to get.
You know, Teo, I want to talk a little bit more about you. You're the director of Rites and Passages. You work with prisoners. You're the executive producer of Miami Project Hip Hop, MPH. Tell us more. You're a busy man.
Oh yes. Well, I've done all that and then some. So and actually, my career began as a performance poet, aka spoken word artist.
Right.
I do not consider myself a poet. However, I am a writer, director, and actor, and I do work in film and television as well. Recently working on a screenplay that was based on my family, and also a one-man show that I adapted from the screenplay, which will probably have a remount in November of this year. So, and I tour quite a bit. I teach around town a little bit. So, yes, I'm pretty busy.
And I see you were inducted into the Miami-Dade College's 2015 Alumni Hall of Fame in the Performing Arts. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
That's quite an honor.
Yes, thank you. Along with Nilo Cruz and Andy Garcia.
Wow.
Oh.
And Anthony, rumor has it you're doing a TEDx talk.
We are doing a TEDx talk.
All of you?
Yes. Cool. I applied. I really wanted to, we really want to spread the word of what we're doing. And in an attempt of that exposure, I applied on a whim to TEDx Coconut Grove next February. And they said, we'd love to have you guys. So we had our first meeting. And it will not be just my presentation. It will be the Combat Hippies. I'm very excited about that.
Each of you mentioned that you didn't grow up with fathers, or you said that neither of you grew up with fathers. Are your moms around to appreciate what you're doing now? And
you mean supermom?
Supermom, yeah. No.
Yes. Yes. She's very much a part of my life. She's like my best friend.
That's so great.
She comes to all the shows. She supports me. I have all these crazy ideas, and she supports all of them, so.
You don't seem too crazy. And what about you, Anthony?
Yes, yes. I feel like my mother is the symbol of resiliency in my life. She raised two sons on her own while working, going to college. And yes, she's a very big source of inspiration. And actually, my father will be at one of the shows. And we have maintained a relationship throughout my life, which I'm very appreciative of. Oh. And I feel it's awesome to share this experience with him.
What else in your futures? Education? Jobs?
Well,
theater?
Anthony's in Barry, getting his master's.
I'm at Barry.
So you want to teach?
Maybe. I think we'd like to see what opportunities might present themselves from this group. And we hope to maybe, like you mentioned earlier, maybe share this experience with other vets around the country. And we also want to perform to larger audiences. We believe the logo on our shirt is post-traumatic growth, and we believe this idea that you can go through traumatic experiences and be stronger because of them can really touch a lot of people, and we want to be kind of the driving force behind promoting that cause.
You know, we our program is available to be downloaded, so I'm thinking if there are any vets listening now, or anybody who knows a vet and tells them about the show, is there anything you want to say to other vets?
Reach out to us. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook.com/TheCombatHippies, Twitter, Combat_Hippies_, or on Instagram at TheCombatHippies. Reach out to us. One of the four of us will answer you. And
you don't necessarily want to have to perform.
Say again?
You don't have to perform, though.
No, they don't.
Right.
No. You don't have to perform.
Yeah.
No.
You just want them to reach out.
But if you just reach out to us.
Anthony?
Yes, we're looking to... We hosted an open mic at Books and Books recently. We had over 70 people show up. We raffled shirts off. We had veterans from the Korean, Vietnam, and Iraq wars. And most of the audience were non-veterans. And I was very excited about that. So we're going to continue to do not only the performance, but community engagement activities.
Let's give out contact info.
Let's give out contact. Let's start with you. Teo Castellanos is actor, writer, director, and works in theater, film, and television, artistic director of D Projects, a contemporary dance and theater company, and the director of Conscience Under Fire. Teo, contact info?
Teo Castellanos@me.com.
Okay. Anthony Torres served in the Army as a mental health specialist in Fort Hood, Texas from 02 to 06. He served on a 12-month deployment to Abu Ghraib prison, where he provided mental health treatment to deployed troops, and he's currently at Barry in a Master of Social Work program. Anthony, contact info?
I would like to direct everyone to our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheCombatHippies, and we also have a Gmail account.
Oh, TheCombatHippies@gmail.com.
Okay. Yes. And Andrew Cuthbert, a Marine Corps veteran, served in Iraq from 2005 to 2006, a radio operator in the 1st Battalion, 10th Marines from 2004 to 2006, in the Marine Corps Embassy Security Group, spoken word poet and Brazilian jiu-jitsu instructor.
Artist.
Artist. That I said artist. Artist and instructor. Okay. Thank you all. Conscience Under Fire this Friday and Saturday at the
Prometeo Theater at MDC Live Arts.
Okay.
And thanks for tuning in. Again, as Bonnie said, You can download the free archives at our website, WLRN.org, and more information, photos, and links at the Topical Currents Facebook page. The program was produced by Polly Landis, technical direction from online producer Paul Leary, and additional assistance by lead producer Richard Ives. Thanks for listening. Joseph Cooper for Bonnie Berman. Stay tuned now for Here and Now from NPR News.